miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. No Chris today. He's out today, tomorrow. Rick Church spinning the stacks of wax on the other side of the glass. And I'm very pleased to announce that Jeff Nixon, the head golf pro at Stony Brook Golf Club, is in studio for this hour. We're going to talk U.S. Open. We're going to talk local golf. He's going to help out with Wikipedia later on with our U.S. Open trivia. We got a lot going on.
Forgot the other part of his resume. Host of?
Well, yeah, host of playing golf, Southwest Florida Sundays from 8 to 10. Thank you. I had that written down. I just didn't read my own writing. But Jeff, welcome. It's always good to have you in studio. How are you?
I'm good. I was concerned about my buddy Pete here last night.
Yeah, I was concerned about you.
Well, first of all, okay, you're concerned about Pete because the Bruins lost, and you brought up a good point about St. Louis, which I want to circle back to. And then I also want to figure out the last time you were in here, just, you know, a little chit-chat between you and Pete on the side. You know, Pete says, hey, you want to come out and play some golf? And so you came out, you played golf. And then the next day, the two of you were, like, worthless, injured, couldn't go to work. I had to do a solo show, for crying out loud. You were, I heard you were hurt, too. What happened out there?
Well, it wasn't really golf-related. Actually, yeah. Mine was a Memorial Day party-related. I tackled my assistant into the pool, and I just really dislocated my shoulder, but it's a little better these days.
Well, how was it? The impact on the tackle?
You were horsing around, weren't you? Mom always said, don't tackle buddies at the pool.
Well, you got it. Bobby Conway, my assistant, who's been on the show. Rick knows him well. Yeah. He's built like a fire hydrant, and I hit him kind of high, and oh, wow.
So the shoulder went out before you even hit the water.
Oh, absolutely. The next morning, I looked like my shoulder was attached to my ear. I mean, I was dying.
Well, I was driving. I was doing some errands, and I was going to call in. And then you came back from break, and I got to go. And
I can't do it. I ended
the show early.
So you both missed airtime because of that crazy week.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't move.
I know. I saw
it. I could not move. And when I left, we played that morning, Thursday morning. Played okay. Could have played better. Jeff played well, and I was fine until about 3 o'clock. Then I went, oh, God, I could not get out of the chair. It was very tough to get out of the chair. It was the exact same thing. But anyway, some inflammatory meds, six-pack of the steroid crap they gave me, and that was fine.
And he was looking at me and goes, Nixie, man, your eyes are rolling back in your head. Are you okay over there? You going to live? I'm like,
I think I'll be all right, man.
Now, before tackling one into a pool, is it good form to make sure he doesn't have a cell phone on him or anything that's going to be ruined if he goes in the water? No.
Nah.
I had a buddy of mine. It happened a couple months ago. A buddy of mine tackled another buddy of mine at the same thing. We're in our 50s. I'm, what are you doing? And his wife flipped out. Not that he was injured or anything like that, because he had brand new pants and like $200 pair of shoes on.
Ooh.
That she had just gotten him.
Ooh.
And
oops.
That didn't go over well. But anyway, I have but one question for you. Who the hell is Sepp Straka? Why do I not know this person?
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with him that much either. He's got to be a European tour guy.
He went to Georgia.
But he's from Vienna, Austria. He
was born in Vienna, but he grew up in the States.
He went to Georgia?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I looked it
up. I'm not familiar with him.
Well, we had two different websites
keeping track of the
leaderboard. And my mind said Austria, had an Austria flag, and Pete got an argument with me. What are you talking about? He's American, and on his website, it had an American flag.
This is the USGA, U.S. Open official website, and it has the flag next to it. But he was born in Vienna and then came to the States at 14 and went to Georgia, won a couple
I'm pulling for him all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He's a dog.
He's a dog.
He's a dog. Yeah, that's exactly it. But your disdain for Ricky Fowler has to be grinding your gears. Even though, not just Chris, because Chris picked him.
He is in the lead.
I know your disdain for him, but he's had a pretty good round today.
Why do you not like him so much?
Well, I like him as a person. I think he's a nice enough kid, but I just think he's been so overrated. And being a straight-up Koepka guy, like I've been – Rick can tell you, 2 years I've been preaching Koepka. Koepka. And like everything is like – Well, when's Ricky going to win one? Well, what about the guy who's just won four? When are we going to talk about that a little bit? But they're starting to get a little bit better with it, although Fox left him off the promo.
How does that happen?
He was ticked about that.
Who's the marketing idiot that does that? And this is what I understand about, you know, and this, Jeff, Craig and I in this 32 years. And I am frequently amazed at the torrential flood of illogic and lack of communication that goes on in this business. And when stuff like that happens, is that that to me is more, I mean, is that a personal, did he sleep with somebody on the set? I don't know. But how do you leave him off a promo like that?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's not like, and it's not like he's Frankenstein or something. He's like some hideous.
He's a marketable guy.
He's a nice looking kid. I mean,
you want that attitude. I loved what he said about, so many pros complained about the U.S. Open, the USGA, which we'll get into, is, you know, come under fire recently and still have about the way the courses are set up with the, he's like, bleep it. I don't care. Just I'll win it anyway.
I guarantee you when Patrick Cantlay put out that video where he's complaining about the rough, Brooks Koepka singing in the back of his head, got him beat.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Good point. Well, he tees off what time?
4:47.
4:37.
Tigers 5:09.
So I know Mike Davis, the USGA exec director, said it's not lost on us. This is an important week, not only for golf. This is an important week for the USGA because of the Conrad-headed criticism. Phil Mickelson saying officials have messed up the course 100% of the time when it doesn't rain. To Golf Digest, quoting anonymous players as saying a boycott was considered in the past. I mean, give me a break. do you feel for them at all? Do they have a point?
I have no feeling. I'm not a fan of the USGA, but I'm not. Yeah. I have no feeling for them in this. I mean, it's the U.S. Open. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, to me, the most logical thing from a marketing standpoint would be have the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach every year. Because
I agree.
Yes.
How are the ratings going to be on Fox at 5? It actually comes on the big network at 7:30
tonight. Yeah.
So from 7:30 to 9, they're going to control sports television. I mean, when the basketball game comes on, sure. Right.
No, Jeff, they'll beat it. I'm telling at least the pregame, they will win that number. I promise you, they'll have better ratings than any pregame show. Especially on ABC, which is unwatchable. If it was Charles and company and Shaq on TNT, maybe a different story.
Right.
But ABC, their pregame sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
By the way, rumors, Michelle Beadle, this will be her last show.
Michelle Beadle and Chauncey Billups
and
a couple others. Yeah.
So so the USGA and the U.S. Open, they always like to make their courses overly tough, as we just alluded to. And, you know, if somebody gets even or maybe one or two under par these days, they can win it. We got 25 players under par right now. I mean, it hadn't been raining.
Well, it's been wet. Yeah. To Mickelson's point, it's been wet. I mean, when the course is in the weather conditions are wet, I mean, it's a takeable course. But when because the USGA just cuts the water off. I mean, I don't know if anybody was watching the Women's Open from South Carolina, from Charleston.
Yeah.
I mean, that golf course was burnt up. I mean, so that's the USGA flat-out motto. Let's go in and turn the water off and let them play and go from there.
Now, from that tournament, the biggest story there was Hank Haney making his comments on his Sirius XM show, who's going to win. He goes, probably a Korean, and then probably somebody named Lee, which is exactly what happened. But he's probably going to lose his job on the radio for that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so ridiculous.
What did you think about all that? I know what Pete thinks about it. What did you think about all that?
I wasn't overly impressed. I'm not overly impressed with Hank Haney to begin with. Mm. It wasn't a well-thought-out comment. I mean, look, he turned out to be right. Which is kind of ironic and funny, but I mean, it's not a well thought. I mean, look, people are tuning into Hank Haney to hear some golf instruction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he should know. I mean, if you're going to be on if our show was on Sirius on a national platform, which if anybody's listening, that'd be great.
Yeah. That would be great.
We would raise our game. We would know who the players on the LPGA Tour. And if we're going to bring up the Women's Open, we should be able to talk about it in an educated manner. Mm-hmm. That's the only gripe I've got with Hank. I mean, you know, like he makes it off. And like everybody turns everything into some big race or sexism issue nowadays. I mean,
but you're right. The bigger point is he should know more about
know
the LPGA.
About women's golf.
Should. That's his profession.
I watched the tournament. I enjoyed it. It was a great tournament. It was fun to watch. Lexi had a chance to win. I mean, the LPGA has stepped up the game.
Lexi wins every week for me.
Oh, yeah.
But that's another
discussion.
That's
a sexist comment, Pete Shepard.
Yeah.
It's no better than a Hank Haney.
I tell you what, the young lady who played with her, Jamie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 She wins for me a lot, too.
But again, I'm looking, you know, just looking back to the complaining that some of these guys have done over the years. You look at, you know, at Aaron Hills in Wisconsin, where Koepka, he won at 16-under. Six other players finished at 10-under or better, provided a final leaderboard that looked more like the, you know, a weekly tour event than the U.S. Open. Then last year, don't put the pin over here at Shinnecock. I don't want to hit. And people said it made the course almost unplayable on Saturday when the final 45 players who teed off all failed to break par at the course of, you know, on Long Island. Good. I think fans love to see that. They love to see
once a year, yeah.
Once a year to struggle. So I don't. God, it's amazing. These guys get their panties in a bunch over the pin placement at Shinnecock.
Well,
too hard.
You got to understand the mind of Phil Mickelson. Mickelson's saying, in his backhanded way, I'm so good, there's no way I shouldn't have won a U.S. Open. It's got to be the USGA's fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Right. Right, because that's the one he's missing for the career slam, for those
right, and he's had, what, six runner-up finishes? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah.
And Phil's a very, very, very cocky guy.
He's about even today.
I have never been a fan of his. I mean, I respect his game. But it seems like you either be a Tiger fan or a Phil fan.
I liked them both. I'm sorry.
I still like Tiger. Phil has always sort of like, I don't know. I feel like he gets away with a lot of stuff. I feel like there's going to be a book someday that comes out and people are going to be like, what? Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think he's a little disingenuous. That's how I look at him.
I like him.
But I don't hate him or anything like that. There's just something that rubs me the wrong way. Always has.
You said he gets away with stuff. He's the only one that can hit a ball twice and nobody make a big deal about it. That's what he did last year.
Yeah.
One got away from him.
So this is six U.S. Open played at Pebble Beach. Never been easy on the players. Tiger Woods and Mickelson among those who complained about the conditions of the green the previous time, which was back in 2010. And Graham McDowell won it with a score of even par. Complaining about the conditions of the greens, many of them are right on the ocean, right, or nearby the wind conditions. What are they complaining about? They're not cut properly? They're not?
Well, there's a lot.
Is it legitimate?
There's a lot of slope to the greens at Pebble. I had an opportunity to play it in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of slope to the greens, and I think that, you know, they can get a little crazy with the pin positions, and I think that was part of the. And that year, they, you know, was very dry. I don't know if you look back and like the, you know, it was the driest I think I'd seen Pebble.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I could understand maybe a little bit, like they're iffy pins, but. Come on, you're Phil Mickelson. I mean, you're Tiger Woods. You're supposed to be able to handle these things.
So here's another interesting fact that only seven players have finished an Open at Pebble under par, led by Tiger's record-setting 12-under in 2000. Nicholas won the first one at Pebble Beach in 72 with a 2-over score. Watson finished at 682. That's what I remember. That's where he chips in, I think, on 17. I forget where, but that was, I'll never forget. And then Tom Kite. Was 3-under a decade later. I think Tom Kite is one of the most underrated players, I think, of my lifetime. I don't think he ever got the credit he deserved.
Tom Kite's a couple of swings away from winning three majors. I mean, he could have won the Masters, 86. Mm-hmm. He's right there in the mix in 86.
Yep. Yeah.
A couple other times. I mean, you know, here or there. Kite was a great player, very consistent.
Jeff Nixon is in studio with us, Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. By the way, when you played at Pebble Beach, did you get on for free?
I did not.
What was the feedback in 2004?
Well, as a PGA member, I paid $225.
Oh, that's a bargain because it's about double that now.
What would a non-PGA
about 450,
member.
Right? 500?
The guy with me paid four and some change.
Yeah. I have friends out there this week, and they played before. It's around.
Do they mandate caddies?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what does it say that stat I just read about? Only seven players have finished an Open at Pebble Beach under par, and we have 22 players under par right now. What does that say?
I mean, the conditions are really good for scoring today. That's what it says. And you know what? The USGA will go in and they'll do something tomorrow to make it less conducive for scoring. I think Tiger kind of got a bad draw here, and so did Brooks a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The afternoon and the morning.
Yeah.
Because, it could really be funky for you. Like, these guys, like Fowler's going to get in the clubhouse, and he's going to have basically, you know, close to 24 hours till he tees off again. I mean, he can rest, especially for Tiger. Not so much for Brooks, but more for Tiger.
Well, Tiger will have to go probably tee off in the morning tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Ricky will get, like you said,
close to 24 hours between playing again. And, you know, that's an advantage. But it could have been the other way. He could have had weather in the morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all luck of the draw.
What's the average for a guy, let's say he's teeing off at 8? How early is he getting up, doing his stretches, doing his hitting on the driving range? So how early, if you have an 8 o'clock tee time, a professional – in a major,
I think
how early is this day
start? I think Tiger talked about at Augusta when they went at, what'd they go at 10?
Yeah,
he had to get up at 5, so he was 5 hours stretch, workout.
Mm. Now is it more so for him because he got to do extra?
Yeah, more for probably a regular player, 2.5-3 hours.
What about Freaky Koepka, who starts, you know, banging out weights? What's he doing? Does he get up at 3 or 4? I mean, and what's? I wonder. I'd love to know what his regimen is before he even gets to the driving range.
And last year at the PGA, he talked about the Sunday before he played, he went and maxed out at every station.
In the gym.
Before he went and played the PGA, he went and maxed out.
Maxed out means that your arms are shaking because you've done so many curls, right?
Right. You know, he did.
And he said he did
225 like 10 times, you know, like.
So would his golf coach, swing coach, caddy agree? I mean, whatever he's doing, it works, right? I mean,
he likes to do.
That's incredible.
I think he's crazy.
Well, he's crazy like a fox because he's winning.
Well, that's what I mean. And he's got the attitude to do it. And I love it. And I love the fact what he said earlier this week, a guy's complaining. He's like, I got this. Like Jeff said, he's already in their heads because he doesn't care.
All right. It doesn't matter to him how tough they make the course. The tougher, the better. Yeah. That's what he wants.
So what's going on with you at Stony Brook? Anything coming up?
Well, we're big time into junior programs and junior golf, and it's full-on junior season. I had a player playing in Sarasota. We got players playing on the East Coast. I got, you know, we had 20-plus kids in a camp today, so – you know, we're working with the camp. We're checking on the kids playing at the other events. You know, like, it's that time of year for the kids to get ramped up and into golf. And for me, as a high school coach, too, at Bishop Rowe, I'm really watching my girls and seeing how they're playing and seeing, you know, I don't want them to peak now. I want them to slow burn right into the high school season. Because I think that a couple things fall in place. My high school team's got a good chance at top 5 at least at state this year. So I'm into it. You know, like, I'm watching.
Now, tell us when you say you don't want them to peak too early. I mean, kind of explain that a little bit.
Well, I want them to play their best, but I don't want them going out and shooting 68 now, and then they kind of lose, you know, like you lose momentum a little bit, and you start thinking, especially with kids, they start thinking, well, I got this down. This is an easy game. Gotcha. I don't need to practice and work as hard.
Right.
I want them to slow burn right up to the point of regionals and state where they're playing their best golf right then. And, you know, I keep trying to preach the idea we get a little bit better every year. We work on, we want to putt and chip better than any team. We want to be right there for that. And, you know, with all our juniors, that's what we emphasize. You putt and chip well. You know, everybody hits it far nowadays. And even these kids. I mean, I watched a 10-year-old today hit it 220 yards.
I can't. I won't do it. And I'd go stand at the corner.
I mean, come over someday, like before the show, and watch some of these kids in the camps with Andy and me, and it's and Bobby. It's pretty amazing. I mean, there's some talented little kids and little girls too. I mean, there's a girl Nina there. She can hit it 150 yards.
Wow.
I mean, and Kenzie's, this girl, Kenzie Mills, who's Jackson, her brother, who hits it about 220, she's like 130, 140.
Just because this Tiger had that much influence on so many people that even now, even, you know, 20-plus years later, people, younger kids are getting involved in the game. And I hope more keep doing it. And I think he had a big part in that. But it seems like it's even in a great way. Now even more kids, younger kids, parents are getting the kids into golf 4, 5, 6 years old, and they just seem to have these au naturel, a lot of them type of I'm like, how did this happen?
U.S. kids.
Yeah.
U.S. kids. The clubs made the difference. When I was a kid, you got the hand-me-downs, the cut-down, and they weighed.
Yeah.
You know, they're like
woods,
G6,
actual wood.
You know, like the heaviest club you can imagine.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you can take a kid, you put a little pole up to him, you measure him, you call in, you order the clubs, they fit them perfect. Mm-hmm. And they have these little grown-up swings with these little clubs. I mean, they can't quite hit it quite as far.
Yeah.
But man, they can hit it square.
Well,
in the middle
speed?
Of the face.
How's their swing speed? I mean, is it just ridiculous? Or
it amazes me sometimes. Some of these kids, you know, like Dalton Payne, kid lives right over here at Stony Brook off number 4.
Uh-huh.
Start out with us when he's 9. He's 14. He's got club head speed over 100 miles an hour.
Really?
Oh my God!
He's 14 years old. Time he gets to be 18, he's gonna be hitting it 330 on average.
I don't know if Craig knew this, but you also, I forget if we talked about this last time, but you were the coach of the young lady that won the Jeopardy teen tournament, and she's also a great golfer, right?
Claire Sattler, absolutely.
Claire Sattler, yeah.
She shot a 75. Her final round, a final golf tournament as a high schooler was at state, and she shot 75 in that final round.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. And you know, the funny thing was, we didn't know she'd won Jeopardy at that time because mm-hmm. she couldn't tell anybody. You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
Gag order.
Yeah.
So she wins Jeopardy, and I sent her a text, congratulate her, and the second text I sent her, when you were playing that round at state with that kind of confidence, did the fact that you won Jeopardy give you extra confidence mm-hmm. to play? And she goes, I didn't really think about that, but you're probably right. It did.
Yeah. Everything's easy.
Because that was amazing. Because we were at our poker tournament that night, and yeah. the whole place was glued to the TV.
Going
watching
to
her.
Yale.
Oh, nice.
That's it? and she's not going to play. She's not going to play golf then?
No, she's going to.
I was going to say academic club, or athletic?
Oh, academic. She's
club sport.
Incredibly.
She garnered one of the largest scholarship funds of all time. Like,
she's a brilliant young lady.
I think well over $500,000.
Oh, she's making money going there. Because you can pocket the extra.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much Yale costs, but
a lot,
a lot.
But I'm sure she's so brilliant, and I'm sure she, she's good academic. She might even get a scholarship. Who knows? But she's a brilliant young lady from everything I've heard.
All right, we are in studio with Jeff Nixon here, for the co-host of Play Golf Southwest Florida Sundays from 8 to 10. Also, the head golf pro at Stony Brook Golf Club. He'll be back. Come back. I see Tiger Woods is warming mm-hmm. up right now. We're going with a gray ensemble today to match the weather out there. He's warming up. We'll talk about him, Jordan Spieth, all the others that are getting ready. Brooks Koepka at the U.S. Open. We'll update you there. And he'll hang around for our Wikipedia segment this hour, which we will have U.S. Open trivia as part of that. So all that's coming up on Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Moving out, parentheses, Anthony's song.
We are keeping an eye on the U.S. Open, and we have Jeff Nixon in studio, the head golf pro at Stony Brook Golf Club, and the co-host of Play Golf Southwest Florida every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. I'll look at the leaderboard. Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, and Luis Oosthuizen all shooting 66 first rounds, 5 under. One stroke lead for all of them right now. Pretty good bunch right there.
Yep, but you just told a funny story off air about Schauffele's dad. Can you tell it?
So we went to the Masters this year, and I see Xander, and we're like hanging around that big oak tree right outside the clubhouse, and this huge guy with a ponytail, you could tell he was European, and big voice, and it's Xander's dad, because you figure it out. Oh, big voice, big guy, how's it going?
But Xander's such a diminutive little guy.
I know, right? It didn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, like, who knows? Happy Father's Day.
Yeah. We had, on Monday, I talked to Greg Herrick from ESPN, who covers the PGA Tour. We were talking about, he was like, you got to score, if you're teeing off the front, you got to score in the first 7 holes, because it gets incredibly more difficult after
absolutely
that. Agree, yeah.
Yeah, I never did ask you what you shot the one time you did play at Pebble.
81.
That's good.
Oh, that's very respectable.
I felt okay, but I didn't play the tees they played, but I felt okay about it.
That's all right.
But yeah, but you agree, right? The first, and then I want to get your thoughts on a couple of holes you play, because I think this is, it might be my, besides Augusta, it might be my favorite golf course in the world. I think it's the best finishing hole in golf on 18. the elevated tee on, is it seven? What's the elevated? What's the elevated?
Seven.
The par, is that seven?
The little par three.
Yeah. But so you agree with that, a set about, you know, you got to take advantage of scoring early,
yes,
despite the weather on this course.
Yes. The front nine is where you want to do your scoring. The first six holes, seven holes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn back and you're against the ocean, eight, nine, ten. And then, you know, like you kind of go inland a little bit. But 14 is a really difficult par five. That green's like a side tilt. I mean, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
And 17 is a really tough par three, usually into the wind. And 18, it's a very visually intimidating tee shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I blew it like almost out of bounds, right? Because I didn't want to go near the ocean when I was there.
And if you do, and then if you, now could you, you hit the ball a ton too. Did that big tree ever get in your way?
I got up, well, actually, we were playing tee. I actually got up close to it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
because that's a pain in the butt too. I mean,
you got to kind of go under it. And
yeah.
I laid up and I think I bogeyed the hole. I think I bogeyed I had a chance to break 80 and I bogeyed the last two holes.
Jeff, I want to ask you before we lose the time on here. So we've been talking about some of the leaders up there. We've talked about Brooks. Great pairing later on today with Tiger and Jordan Spieth. Your thoughts on Tiger? Got no interviews complete without a discussion on him. And Jordan Spieth, who I think has kind of been sneaky good getting his game close to back together. So what do you expect out of him?
Well, if Jordan Spieth can drive the ball in the fairway, I think he's got to be somebody you're looking at to win this event. I mean, he's been putting really, really well, and his iron game has been coming along, but he's just driving the ball not very well. And in a U.S. Open, usually you have to drive it in the fairway to play well at a U.S. Open. We'll see.
Yeah.
Tiger, I really, if Tiger shoots anything under par today, I think he's there with a legitimate chance of winning the tournament on Sunday.
Okay.
If he's over par today, it's going to be hard to dig yourself out of a hole because you think you're one, two over. Fowler's five under.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be hard to dig out of that hole. It's just, it is.
Mm. Yeah. I think on our fantasy golf league here on ESPN on the webpage and in my FanDuel team, I really like the way Snedeker's playing. In fact, if I had to pick besides Koepka or Tiger, or I mean, be free, I was going with him. He's playing really good golf.
And Snedeker's played well on the West Coast. He's won at San Diego and Pebble Beach. Mm-hmm. And, he's got a pop stroke, which, you know, it's like a more of a, you know, dramatic kind of putt, and it gets the ball rolling, and it keeps it from bouncing around on the greens there, so, on the POA. So, you know, Snedeker's not a bad pick. I mean, the thing is, will Snedeker hold up under the pressure of Sunday? I mean, it is the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you make one bad mistake, and you're in the, you know, you hit it in the Pacific, or you're in rough up to your, up above your ankles, and there you go.
How is the second cut? I mean, second cut, whatever. It's fairly thick. How does that compare to some other? And we know fescue, and then there's this. I mean, the ball just disappears. Yeah. What are you hitting out of there? Sand wedge? I mean, flop wedge? I mean,
well, if you can get to the ball.
If you can get to it.
I don't know how to describe it to people who've never played rough like that. And I can't say that I've really played rough quite that high. Probably the highest rough I ever saw in my life was I played TPC Sawgrass in October when it was raining, and it was Bermuda rough, and it was 4 or 5 inches.
Sure.
The ball sink straight down the bottom.
Yeah.
And all you're doing there is just taking a sandwich back your stance and trying to chip it back out to the fairway the best you could. I mean, if it's, you might get lucky and it's laying and you can swing through it, but if it's laying against you, forget it. You're chipping it out.
I haven't checked the forecast for the rest of the weekend. Do either you two know what they expect out there?
I don't think it's going to be great.
It's not bad.
It's going to be cloudy and cool all weekend.
That's where
we're going to have some low scores.
Yeah, and especially that's why tomorrow morning is going to be probably in the high 40s.
Yeah.
To start in the morning.
Wow. All right.
But with the wind and everything, like Jeff was saying, I mean, it's, could change on a dime. I mean, it's not really warm. It's not warm there today. Everybody's in sweaters on the hole. And
yeah, someone else we haven't talked about, Rory McIlroy, shot 3 under. He's two back today. Had a decent day.
Well, after what he did last week, I mean, last week he was on fire last week at Canadian. He should have had 59.
He plays like that here. He'll win.
I mean, 60. Oh, not 59. Yeah,
he drives the ball like he did in Canada. He wins the golf tournament. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. I mean,
and he never plays that tournament either, right?
No, first time playing a Canadian Open. Does the whole thing, goes to the Raptors game, blah, 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 blah. They love him, you know, they embrace him, and went out and just That was an incredible round of golf. I don't know if you guys saw him. The first hole, he almost holds it for eagle. Yeah. And it just went from there like birdie.
Speaking of the Raptors, what do you think about tonight's game six?
I actually thought about this before I came here today. You know, I was never a huge Kevin Durant fan until the other night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And after that, that guy garnered so much of my personal respect for what he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, it cost him millions of dollars. Let's be honest. I mean, $20 million probably. He's not ever going to recoup from what he did. He wanted so much to win and for the team. Yeah. Does that help them get through game six? Maybe. I think we go seven. I think Toronto wins it.
Okay.
I think Leonard's the best player in basketball. Mm. But
I think
they go game seven.
Yeah, yeah. I do too. I think that timeout by Nurse is going to come back to bite them in the butt. And when it's all said and done, I think Golden State's going to win it again.
Yeah, why did he call it a timeout? He had him. It's like you're fighting a guy and you're hitting him in the face, you know, over and over, and then all of a sudden you go,
That's exactly what it felt like.
And so you know you're getting knocked out.
He said because, you know, he can only call the last two timeout, last 2 minutes, 3 minutes, he would have basically lost the time. It didn't matter. They had all the momentum, and it wasn't a smart move, and I think it cost him because it allowed Golden State to get rested and revitalized, and boom, they got it done.
Well, I'll tell you what. We are going to play Wikipedia next segment. It's U.S. Open golf trivia. Jeff Nixon is in studio. We may allow our caller to phone a friend and help him out. These are tough questions. Tough pin placement on these questions.
Yeah, really tough pin placement by you.
Yeah,
really, really
it's my fault. I came up with the questions. They're too tough, in my opinion. Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Do we know what our prize package is by any chance? Is it $50 food somewhere?
Yes, sir. We have $50 from Finn's Dive Bar and Restaurant in Cape Coral.
Very good.
I know Finn's.
Yeah.
It's a good spot.
It is a good spot.
Personally endorsed by Jeff Nixon, folks.
There you
go.
$50.
Now,
Jeff, you're not eligible.
Do not call if you know nothing about golf, okay? That's going to bog down the game. If you know something about golf, go ahead and be caller number 9 at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Caller number 9, Stump the Shep. Wikipedia is next with our guest in studio, Jeff Nixon. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter, shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, here we go. Today, it's going to be U.S. Open trivia. And we also have Jeff Nixon in studio. He's our resident golf pro. I'm going to allow phone a friend if Jeff thinks he knows the answer to help each Pete and the contestant out once. Because I think the pin placement on these questions is very difficult today, much like the U.S. Open. Caller number 9 is Greg in Lehigh. Greg, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Greg.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
Very good.
Doing
good,
man.
How old are you, Greg? Greg, can you hear us?
Greg?
What? Greg!
It's happened before this week.
His phone cut out.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Hello?
No, put him on hold, Rick. See if we can find him.
He may have to put himself on mute. That happened once before. Got to figure out what's going on here. And then the other guy we had was clearly cheating, putting his phone on hold and Googling the answers. So, I don't know. Rick Church is talking to him. I think he's made contact. Let's see what's going on here as I'm stalling. Got some good questions here. All right, we're going to try this again. All right, we think we got him? All right.
Greg, you there?
Greg, can you hear us?
I'm here. I can hear you guys.
All right, there we go.
All right, for some reason you couldn't hear us. All right, and how old are you, Greg?
Me, I'm 37.
All right, what do you do for a living?
I'm in the stone business.
Okay, and do you like golf?
Yeah, I like golf a lot, actually.
All right, question number one.
Craig, I just want to let you know I didn't get a copy of the questions either, so I'm going to be
I'll give you a thumbs up or thumbs down on the sound effects.
Thanks.
All right, Greg and Lehigh, question number one. Who was the first player to reach double digits under par at any point in a U.S. Open? And it's not Tiger Woods.
Let me see here. Am I going to go with Lee Jansen?
No, that is not correct. By the way, I will offer you an opportunity to phone a friend. I've got a golf pro in studio. Would you like to use it here on the first question?
I should. I got to try to get out to that early lead.
Yeah. All right. Jeff Nixon, do you know the answer?
Dr. Gil Morgan.
Yes!
Oh,
yes,
man.
Everybody. Very impressive. Wow. I would have never gotten that. All right.
That
good job, Greg.
Question.
All right. Pete Shepard.
Yes.
Your question. On which course did Phil Mickelson have his only 54-hole lead in the U.S. Open?
Oh, God. I'm going to take a stab in the dark. Do I get to ask? Do I get? Do you only get phone a pro?
If you would
once?
Like to phone a friend, you with our golf pro, you can.
I'm gonna take a stab at this one myself. I'll save it, only because it's been played here a lot. I'll say Oakmont.
It is incorrect. Just for fun, Jeff Nixon, do you know the answer?
What's the question again?
Which golf course did Phil Mickelson have his only 54-hole lead in the U.S. Open?
Wingfoot.
It was Marion. Marion was the correct. All right. No points for you, Pete Shepard.
Damn.
We move on back to Greg in Lehigh for the next question. Which course has hosted the U.S. Open the most times?
The most times for a U.S. Open. I'm going to go back to Pete's answer. Is it Oakmont?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah.
You are on fire,
damn
Greg!
Damn it!
Very impressive.
If I knew that was going to be the next question, I would have hinted at it. Oh, I wouldn't have hinted at it by giving him the answer. Stupid.
Thanks, Pete.
Jeff, would you have got that one right?
Yes? I got that one.
All right. Let's see. We are now back to Pete Shepard, who's down 2-0. Whose record did Tiger Woods break for the largest margin of victory in majors when he won the U.S. Open by 15 shots? Whose record did he break?
Oh, God. This is...
That's incredibly hard.
I know.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Lord, have mercy.
No, it wasn't him.
It wasn't him?
No.
Similar in age.
Bobby Jones.
Incorrect.
Darn it.
By the way, just for now we give Greg and Lehigh a chance to steal.
Yeah.
So Greg, the question was,
no Googling.
When Tiger Woods shot a 15, when he won by 15 strokes, whose record did he break for the largest margin of victory in the majors?
In any major or just the U.S. Open?
It happened in a U.S. Open, but it qualifies for any major.
Not Johnny Miller, is it?
No, that is incorrect. Jeff Nixon, do you have a clue?
Not a clue.
Old Tom Morris, which is not to be confused with young Tom Morris. I don't know why he was called Old Tom Morris.
That was the British Open, right?
I'll take your word for that. I don't have a complete stats.
See, that's what kind of threw me off there. I was thinking Old Tom Morris because that's why I said to Pete when he said Jesus, about the same age. But when you said the U.S. Open, I'm like, well, then who is it?
All right, Greg and Lehigh, who is the oldest U.S. Open champion?
I'm going to throw a shot in the dark. Is it Hale Irwin?
Yes,
it
oh
is.
Oh, my gosh. This is an impressive
performance. Why can't I get these
this
questions?
This is fantastic.
That's a
it.
Great
That's
answer.
Three. Greg, you win. Congratulations.
I didn't even get to use my phone a pro.
All right, Greg, I will put you on hold. Rick Church will hook you up with your prizes. That is very impressive.
Very impressive.
Well, right, you must have a couple questions.
I got some more we can play with.
Yeah.
But Greg, thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg. Good job.
All right, between the two of you. In fact, let's just do a speed round. Whoever has it, blurt it out. We'll see who can do it first. There's no buzzer. All right. My other questions were, who is the only player with three consecutive U.S. Opens under par?
Oh, boy.
Consecutive U.S. Opens under par.
Jack Nicklaus.
No.
Lee Trevino.
No. Curtis Strange.
Oh.
Curtis Strange is the answer.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Yeah. Next, what is the name of the U.S. Open trophy?
I should know this.
It's not the Claret Jug.
Stanley Cup?
No.
Someone just talked about
that. That's what you lost last night.
Yeah.
The name of the U.S. Open Trophy is the U.S. Open Trophy.
That stinks.
Who's in Grant's tomb?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
Davy Jones' locker.
In 2000, in the second round, Tiger's tee shot on 18 went into the ocean. His caddy persuaded him to use a 2-iron for the next shot. What was the actual reason why?
Didn't have a 3-wood in the bag?
Close.
Tiger broke his driver?
He only had one ball left in the bag.
Oh, that's right. They just said they just.
I know you can have 14 clubs. Is there a limit to how many balls you can have in your
bag?
Yeah. No,
you there gotta, isn't.
You
no.
got They got to make. Well, for them, they have to make sure they're all the same brand. I think they still play the one ball rule, but
okay.
But no, you can have as many as you. The guy wants to tote around. I mean,
wait a minute. What's the one ball rule? I mean, if you,
same
ball each hole unless you lose.
PGA Tour players, we used to play it as club pros. We don't do it anymore, but I think they still play the one ball rule, which means like if you play Titleist Pro V's, X, you got to have all Titleist Pro V X's.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. I got a couple more just for fun. Which course hosted the first U.S. Open in the state of California?
Newport Country Club.
No.
Riviera.
Fact, yes. Riviera. And my last one on here, the highest score on a single hole in a U.S. Open was Ray Ansley in 1938. Any idea what that was?
I do know this because they had it. I think it was an 19. I'm going to say 19. I think it I saw was. That stat the other day.
It was the 16th hole in Cherry Hill, and he took a 19.
Ball.
He refused to drop.
Ball.
Yes, ball.
Ball, Kevin Costner. Ball.
That's exactly what
and
happened.
Didn't Daly had 15 or something? Daly had a couple of holes on the U.S. Open. We had like 15s or something like that.
He had it at Arnold's place at Bay Hill. He made a 15 on 6. Yeah. He kept trying to hit it around the dog leg.
That's right. Didn't Sergio have an incredibly high score on one hole recently?
Not in the U.S. Open, though.
Masters. Year before. When he was defending champion.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, the hour is up. Jeff Nixon, thank you so much for coming
in. Man.
We always enjoy having you in here. You'll be on the air with Andy Sunday morning from 8 to 10.
Sunday morning, and hopefully I'll be back for the Open Championship with you guys.
Absolutely.
The invite is there. Let's make that happen for sure.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Get you guys back at my place, both you and Andy.
I look forward to that, man. I really enjoy it. What a great golf course you got, man. It's awesome. I enjoyed playing it. As a matter of fact, I went and recommended it to some folks when we were airified to go play. I think they went and played there. So
I
hope they did.
Nice. Let's not forget, place as well,
let's
too,
not forget about Stony Brook Golf Club.
Because I might be coming to you Saturday.
Oh, great, man. We look forward to it.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. For Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheehan. We'll continue. The 5 o'clock hour is upon us on a Thursday on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.